And it's another week. That means it's another show. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. And today is special because today what we're going to do is we're going to focus on something that's happening in Washington, D.C. in just a few weeks. And I'm not talking about the inauguration. I'm talking about something that has happened over the last 43 or so years of people coming together to stand together and to march for life. So today we're going to have some special guests on to join us. And our first guest is the president of the March for Life, Jenny Mancini. Thank you so much for taking some time out and joining us today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So as we kind of look at what the next few weeks hold, and I know the planning for this march has been a process, I'm sure, with knowing that it lands on just a week after the inauguration and all that goes in with that. Kind of walk us through that planning process and the importance of the March for Life and how it has grown in the last 43 or so years.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that. So we begin planning the March for Life a little over a year in advance, and at that point begin with permit applications with some of the different police jurisdictions that we work with. And planning really continues year-round, although I would say the 3 months in advance of the march is our busiest time. We do lots of year-round work as well, especially some legislative and education work, but the planning of the March for Life is really in the late fall and the early winter are our primary work. And the importance of the March for Life, gosh, it's hard to fully explain and showcase how critical I think the March for Life is. So, of course, historically, the march began 43 years ago on the anniversary, the first anniversary of Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, the two Supreme Court cases that legalized abortion at any time in any of the three trimesters throughout the United States. And even though that was a decision of judicial activism made at the level of the Supreme Court, people anticipated that it would be corrected because it was made in the parameters of what the court is normally called to do, which is to interpret the Constitution, but it was more creating a right to abortion sort of outside of the Constitution. And so the following year, 1974, January 22nd, a number of pro-lifers gathered to mark that anniversary, the somber anniversary of those decisions, and anticipated that, that would probably be the only March for Life ever because that those decisions would be corrected. And sadly, of course, they're still on the books here 44 years later, yet no one ever anticipated that the March for Life would literally become the largest human rights demonstration annually around the world. And so the march has grown to encompass tens of thousands of participants every single year, and primarily the marchers are young people. I would say under the age of 30, a good 85% are young people that come to the March for Life. And so while sadly abortion is still the law of the land in the United States, and we certainly have our work cut out for us culturally to create a place where abortion is unthinkable, that women don't want to choose abortion, we have made a lot of inroads, and there are a lot of bright spots, and one of them is frankly just the March for Life in and of itself, that here we are, collectively over the years having had millions of participants showing the truth about life and the dignity of the human person from conception to natural death.
And that's what, I went last year. Last year was my first march, and just absolutely overwhelmed was one word for me, just convicted, and I was I went to the Evangelicals for Life conference in conjunction with the march, and just was blown away that even in blizzard conditions, the amount of people that showed up to stand and to show that life has value. So this year the theme is the power of one, and Hope Resource Center partnered with the March for Life, and we just did a video last week, and looking forward to seeing that. As we talked about the work of pregnancy centers, but talk a little bit about why it's important to focus on the power of one individual, the power of one pregnancy, the power of one pregnancy center that can make such a huge difference for the movement of life.
I'd love to, and thanks, by the way, for partnering with us. I can't
wait
to see the video as well. I'm really looking forward to it, but yes, as you mentioned, the theme for the 2017 March for Life is the power of one, and really the point of that is that, you know, even one person can make a difference in building a culture of life. And there's a lovely, lovely and powerful line in The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien that even the smallest person can change the course of history. And that's really what we're trying to communicate is, you know, we've got a logo for the 2017 March for Life, and it's a little candle that's burning brightly in the darkness. So, you know, the tragic reality in our country is that we do live we have a bit of a cloud of darkness over us in the sense of we've got over a million babies every year that aren't given the opportunity to live, and that many people think abortion is a good thing. You know, we certainly have our work cut out for us. But building a culture of life can happen when people respond to their unique missions, to their unique vocations. The power of one is incredibly motivating and can be life-changing. And so it's our hope and our goal that this March for Life will encourage all of us to more fully seek and fulfill our unique missions to the best of our abilities, because it's really only in doing that that we can collectively work together to create a culture where abortion is unthinkable, and not only illegal, but unthinkable, and that women will want to choose life when they're facing an unexpected pregnancy.
Well, and that's the thing, is we walk through and look at, okay, why am I pro-life? Is it founded in biblical truths, which for a lot of us it is? And even secular folks can look and say, well, hold on, I've seen an image of a baby inside of a womb. You know, ultrasound allows us to do that. And so there's so many people that are coming together. I've had conversations with atheists who are pro-life and looking at ways, well, how can we partner? We disagree on a number of different things, but we agree on the life issue. How can we partner? How can we come together? How can we come alongside each other to have the conversations that need to be had? And as we look at more and more young people, what a lot of folks are calling the pro-life generation coming and showing up, I think that's what we're seeing, is we're seeing conversations happen at a neighbor level that are saying, look, we don't have to argue right now. Let's just talk about what life means and what's important. And so as we look at that, a lot of folks may look at the March for Life as that's kind of been led by Catholics, and hats off to those that have led this march for so long, because if I'm honest and looking for myself as an evangelical Southern Baptist guy my entire life, we kind of dropped the ball for a long time in this work and in this movement. So what have you seen come out of the partnerships with folks like the ERLC and other organizations focused on the family? And what have you seen, what kind of fruit has come from that as you've partnered with folks like them?
Well, that's great that you use the word fruit, because that's what came to mind when you were just describing that, just a beautiful fruitfulness. So interestingly, just before we did this interview, I was emailing with one of our board members, Kelly Rosati, who works for Focus on the Family. She's one of their top, probably in their top leadership for pro-life issues. And we were talking about this very thing over email, about the wonderful partnership between Catholics and evangelicals. I had worked at Family Research Council before I worked for the March for Life, and I've always I'm a staunch Catholic. I love my faith, and I also have a personal relationship with Jesus, and I pray fervently every day, and that's, you know, my greatest gift in my life is my relationship with Christ. And working at Family Research Council was so incredible for me, because, you know, working amidst evangelicals who have such a beautiful and profound faith, who were pro-life, was just wonderful. And we would often talk about why is it that Catholics are more involved specifically in the March for Life, but also tend to speak out more on the life issue. And there were a lot of conversations that we had in those moments, and I think God was sowing some seeds for when I'd be working at the March for Life ultimately, because immediately when the founder of March for Life passed away, went to her eternal reward, and I was asked to work with the March for Life, one of our first things was working on outreach to non-Catholics. And I should mention, the March for Life is actually not inherently religious. We're not Catholic. We're not evangelical. We're not even inherently Christian, although all of us who are here have very strong faiths. But we were more focused on the natural law and philosophical principles, and that's the language that we use, although, again, our faith strengthens each of us. But all to say, we still have been working so hard on outreach to non-Catholics, because Catholics are primarily the group that come to the March for Life, and it's been incredible to see Evangelicals for Life get up and running. And last year was really the first annual full conference. They sort of had an early conference the year before, an embryonic conference, I would say. But I think that they had over 500 people attend, and I myself attended and was just blown away by the enthusiasm of folks. And even this year, we're so excited in our rally lineup to have the likes of Eric Metaxas, who's just a phenomenal evangelical speaker, author, radio host, just a great guy. And then we also have, really excited, a gentleman, a bishop, a church leader by the name of Bishop Vincent Matthews, and he heads up the Church of God in Christ, which is the largest African-American church denomination in the country with over 6.5 million members. And they've got this really fantastic adoption program. It's quite aggressive, frankly, in the African-American community. And he's got a story of how, the way he describes it, they were theologically always pro-life, but they really weren't doing much about it. And so for the last few years, they've really tried to place more of a ministry emphasis on building a culture of life within their communities, and have just seen a ton of fruit in terms of adoption, especially adoption out of foster care. So, I mean, honestly, it's a conversation that could go on and on and on and on about the fruitfulness, but those would be just a few examples that I've been privy to.
Well, and I think that's, you know, with my work at Hope Resource Center, one of my roles as executive director is church outreach. And so that's with, as a Southern Baptist, you know, it's interesting now that I'm working with all kinds of folks from all different walks of life, different denominations, but we all have the same goal. I'm speaking at a number of different churches in the next few weeks because of Sanctity of Life Month and why we want to give an emphasis to that. So it is such a beautiful picture of the gospel, and I think a beautiful picture of eternity when we're all standing there together and going, oh, well, there's some other folks here, not just the ones that were in our denomination. That's going to be an amazing thing. So as we round out our conversation this afternoon, are we on the verge? And I have my opinion on this, but I'd love to hear your take. Are we on the verge of a major shift for life in this country? I mean, we've seen the numbers, abortion numbers are declining on a regular basis. More and more people are standing. Are we on the verge of something special, do you believe, starting in 2017?
I think it's a very special time. Now, I will say this. I think that the election was a miracle, and I know that there were a lot of different feelings about the president-elect heading into it.
Right, yeah.
And people had different feelings, but I will tell you this, that at every level right now, he's hiring people that are extremely pro-life, extremely
absolutely
pro-life. These are people that we've worked with for years, and that is extremely exciting. Now, I will say this. I think it's a little bit like the parable of the talents in Scripture, where the different servants receive a different number of talents, and then the one who only receives one goes and buries it. And then the one who receives five, you know, takes risks and makes things happen. So what I would say is we're in a moment where we've been given five talents, but we have to fully exploit them.
Let's go to
work.
And
that's what I mean by this theme, you know, the power of one. But we also have to legislatively really continue to encourage and advocate with our members of Congress, our executive branch, about the most important pro-life priorities that we have been asking for years and years and years, that are common sense, you know, priorities. I would also say, just as this election was, this is a spiritual battle, and we need to pray. We need to be on our knees, and we need to pray fervently that a culture of life will be restored. And I think then, and only then, will we see, you know, a profound fruitfulness, the prayer and then the ministry element of the prayer as well. So, yes, I certainly hope so, but I think it's in our hands, and we have, I mean, it's a moment of grace, but a moment of grace that we also have to respond to.
Absolutely, and that's what, you know, in my opinion, let's get that started. Let's get that ball rolling at the march in the next few weeks as we all come together. And Jenny, just thank you so much for again, taking some time out. We will be praying for you, praying for your team as y'all prepare for what's going on, and just excited to see what God's going to do. Hope to see you in D.C., very soon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was just really an honor to, and thank you for your beautiful work at Hope Center. We're just so grateful for the work that you guys are doing.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds great. Bye-bye.
And that was Jeannie Mancini with March for Life, president of March for Life. So excited to see what's going to come from this partnership. We'll be back with more in a sec. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Thank you again for listening. You can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. You can learn more about the March for Life by searching for them online as well. So many great things happening this month in January as is Sanctity of Life Month. And after the next break, we're going to bring in another guest, Bethany Goodman, who works with the March for Life as well. And we're going to talk about social media and the younger generation and how the younger generation is becoming the pro-life generation. So we'll touch on that here in a little bit. But right now what I want to do is simply just for a second talk about the importance of standing and really why I am even taking a couple employees and going to Washington, D.C. in the next few weeks to go for the March for Life. Some people may say, well, what's the point? You've been marching for 43 years, and what have you seen? What difference has it made? Well, what we have seen is abortion numbers decline. What we have seen is pro-life legislatures in the state of Tennessee and other states across this country. What we have seen is pro-life governorships across this country. What we have seen is a chance, at least, with the current administration to see a conservative court, to see Justice Scalia be replaced by a conservative judge. What we are seeing is conversations that are happening. We are seeing elected officials come out and are able to, not all of them, but some of them able to articulate a pro-life stance that truly grasps the understanding of who we are as a pro-life movement. And so the march, what it has done, it has brought light onto an issue that so many refuse to discuss. And so what you'll find is, and what I'm hoping we see different this year, is so often when pro-lifers or conservatives go to D.C. for a march, you can look at the crowd and it's obvious that it's tens of thousands of people. And the media will look at that and they'll go, yeah, a few people came to D.C. to march. And we know that's not true. And the pictures that they show will show that there wasn't that many people. Or they'll focus on the protest of the march. So they'll focus on those that are for abortion who were protesting those in the March for Life, and which we saw last year. They were very angry and hateful and inappropriate. And you see a focus on them, but you don't see a focus on the tons of young people coming out in peaceful protest to say in peaceful march and coming out to say in love, look, life has value and abortion is wrong. And here's what we can do to see a shift. And so the march, in my opinion, is making a huge difference. It is giving a voice to so many. And the partnership now, this is what I love. The partnership now with the ERLC and with Focus on the Family and with the March for Life is going to be like we talked about. It started last year, but it's going to grow into something really special, and I'm excited about our partnership at Hope with the ERLC and with the March for Life. Like I said, we just recorded a video for March for Life last week and had the opportunity to talk about who we are at Hope Resource Center, why it's important to stand with pregnancy centers across this country. And we got to highlight a little bit about Hope and our story and how we opened up our doors across from an abortion clinic with the goal of serving and taking care of those in need, but also understanding that if we do our job, and if we do our job well, the abortion clinic would close its doors, and praise God it did in 2012. So the video will focus on that and discuss that, and March for Life will be sharing that. And I'm also going to get a chance to guest blog for them. And so in conjunction with that video, a blog will be sent out discussing Hope Resource Center and the 2,500 plus clinics around this country that are doing work like Hope. And so just exciting things happening, not just at Hope, but across the country. And some folks will have a little bit more pep in their step because they're looking and they're saying, for the first time in 8 years at least, we are seeing people come out and we're seeing people hired and we're seeing people appointed that stand with us. Now, again, we're not going to get political, but there's something to that. So the last 8 years, what we saw was Cecile Richards walking in the White House. What we saw was Planned Parenthood championed as the greatest thing that this country has ever seen, instead of saying why they were founded and where their foundational beliefs were kind of honed in on with Margaret Sanger. And so what we're seeing now is we're seeing no more meetings at the White House of the largest abortion provider in the country. What we're seeing is meetings between the executive branch and people at March for Life, meetings with pro-lifers, appointments of pro-lifers who really know what they're doing and who really know how to articulate the message. And so it's important that we look at that. And like Jenny was saying, it's important that we say, okay, we have such an opportunity here. Such an opportunity. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? And so what we're seeing across the country, state by state by state, is more and more pro-life legislation. My prayer is that the federal government will start to mirror that, that you'll start to see the value of an ultrasound, that you'll start to see that we're not just pro-baby, that we're pro-life, that we're pro-woman, that we're pro-dad, that we're pro-family. And so when these things start to happen, it's going to be an amazing thing, but we have to be prepared for it. I posted last night on Facebook, as we're talking through this, and I've used this example before. You know, growing up on a farm, we would always have dogs come up, stray dogs come up to our house. And we had one in particular named Amy, and what she would do every time a car passed, and I know Amy's a weird name for a dog, but that's beside the point. Well, every time a car would pass, she would chase that car. And my dad used to say, what's she going to do when she catches that? There's no plan for catching the car. The dog just loves the chase. Well, folks, we've been chasing the pro-life issue for a long time. Are we prepared to catch it? Let's not be that dog that's not sure what to do when we finally get there. And I believe that in 2017, in the years to come, that we are getting a chance to see something truly remarkable. We're getting an opportunity. We're getting an opportunity to say, no, we're ready. We're ready to catch it. We're ready to take that next step. We're ready to see that legislation pass. We're ready to see the court look at this issue again. Because society would like for you to believe that the vast majority of the populace is for abortion, that the vast majority of the populace is standing against and in opposition to life. That's not true. It's not true. And so what we know is there's a difference being made by the work of places like Hope Resource Center, by the work of March for Life, by the work of National Right to Life, by the work of the ERLC, by the work of Catholics, by the work of all denominations, all kinds of folks that are saying, by Secular for Life, there's so many folks that are saying, look, now is the time. We have finally reached a point that we've all dreamed of. Let's not drop the ball. And that's where we are. And when we come back from this break, we're going to have a conversation with Bethany, who is with March for Life as well. And we're going to talk about how this younger generation is becoming the pro-life generation. How everybody likes to look at millennials and say bad things about millennials. And I am one of those millennials. But millennials are making a huge difference in the fight for life. We'll talk about that when we come back. Hey, we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you again for listening. Again, learn more about Hope, investinghope.com. This show will be up on podcast hopefully tomorrow. You'll find it on iTunes, also on our website, investinghope.com. Right now, we're joined by another guest, Bethany Goodman, who is with the March for Life. Bethany, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. We've done a lot of emailing, a couple conversations, but certainly glad that you have joined us. Please again thank Jenny for taking the time out and joining us as well. As we look at what I wanted to focus with you on is kind of and I may be making an assumption here, and forgive me, but I think that we may be in a similar age range. I don't know that for certain, but as we look at the pro-life generation, a younger group of folks that are coming up, I mean, last year's March, I was blown away at the amount of high school age kids, 30 and under people, you know, early 30s and under people that showed up to march in blizzard conditions. So as we look at that, what kind of difference is the millennial, the younger folks making in the life movement, do you see?
That's a great question, and I think you're absolutely right. When you attend the March for Life, you are just blown away by the crowds of young people. I mean, I'm 31. I don't consider that old by any means. But
right, so we are in the same range, okay.
I think so, yes. And so, I'm 31, but I even feel a little bit old at the March for Life. It is, there's so many young people, college, you know, certainly tons of college students, high school students, even middle schools. It really blows you away. I think, you know, we definitely are seeing that young people are becoming more and more pro-life. You not only just kind of see it and kind of experience it at the March for Life, but you know, there's also polling that has come out in recent years that shows that young people, millennials, are more pro-life than older generations.
Yeah, as we look at that, I mean, it's interesting for me. I mean, I grew up in a home where we were in church every time the doors were open, Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday. I mean, it didn't matter. If they were opening on Thursday, we were going to be there. And so I always was pro-life. We didn't have conversations in my home about abortion necessarily. It just was always one of those things where, you just were pro-life. And so now, and part of that was I grew up in a very small town, rural community, and now that I live in a larger city and in a larger setting, and I'm starting to see, okay, well, a lot of the folks I run into didn't necessarily grow up in that setting, but what they did grow up with, if they're in my age range and younger, is they grew up with access to images. And you can quickly Google,
exactly.
A baby's image at whatever stage, and there's no question, oh, that's a baby. And so the argument that used to be made, well, it's not a baby, is not a valid argument anymore. And I think even millennials are starting to say, well, I may even stand against, I may even stand and say abortion is okay, but don't tell me the lie that's not a baby. And I think that is a huge step, at least in the right direction of getting people to see that, look, the argument of it's not a baby is an old argument and not one that is going to produce any kind of result. What we now have to get to is, okay, we all know now that it's a baby. What do we believe about abortion? What do we believe about life?
Absolutely. When you think about the time when Roe v. Wade was decided, the Supreme Court case that essentially established abortion on demand in our country. It was 1973, and then the first March for Life happened the next year. At that time, you know, there was obviously no internet. There was no kind of immediate access to the truth about abortion. Now, even as we were growing up, although really
sure,
not even until
yeah.
like middle school, I think when the internet came around for me at least. But now we have, you know, literally at our fingertips, the truth about abortion. You can Google it. You can see there are so many. One thing that I love, is all of the technology and the mobile apps that are out there for women who are pregnant. And I'm sure you guys, you know, maybe you have certain ones that you recommend to ladies that come into Hope Resource Center. But there are a slew of different apps where, and you know, and they're not specifically pro-life resources or anything like that, but they show how a baby is developing.
Right.
From the moment of conception. So you can't, you're absolutely right, we can no longer ignore that a baby is a human and that it is separate from the mother that is carrying it, which is an amazing thing to see how the technology has really changed this debate over the years.
You know, it's interesting. We had a patient just last year at some point come in, and her exact words were to our nurse practitioner, if when I see this ultrasound, if it's a blob of cells, I'm going to have an abortion. If it's a baby, I'm not. That was her words.
Wow.
And of course, we knew, I mean, when we heard that and we knew how far along she was, we were like, well, you're not going to see a blob of cells. And so, you know, she has the ultrasound and she comes out and she says, well, this is a, she was a Hispanic patient. And she said, this is a baby. And it was like a light went off for her of, wow, this isn't what I've been told my entire life. This is the image I just saw is clear that that's a human, that that's a baby. And so, you know, we're entering into some special times. If you don't mind, as we, if folks are listening and they're saying, you know, I'd love to go to the march. What can I expect of the march? Is it just one day? Is it a few days? What? So if you could kind of walk through what the, I know there's a number of different things going on in conjunction with the march, but what does that look like? If you come up, I know there's some booths, spaces and different things like that. What could a person expect if they come up to DC that week?
I would love to talk about that. So the main event is Friday, January 27th. There are a lot of events that are also happening on Thursday, January 26th. The March for Life itself hosts a conference in the morning, and we'll have some great speakers there. We're actually going to have a panel that's going to discuss the Pregnancy Resource Center movement and how people can kind of get involved with centers like Hope Resource Center. The afternoon, we have the March for Life hosts a youth rally. So for middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students, that's a two-hour event. That entire day on the 26th, the March for Life hosts an expo. So we have over 65 pro-life organizations and ministries that will be exhibiting, and you know, it's just a great way to kind of it's free. I should add as well to come through and visit the expo. It's a great way to get connected to all kinds of different you know, pro-life organizations, ministries, that type of thing. There are also many events that are happening that are not hosted by the March for Life. So, for example, the ERLC and Focus on the Family are doing a fantastic event that starts on the 26th called Evangelicals for Life.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's a great event. I know there are there are just a number of different events. You can go to marchforlife.org, and we have a list of all of the related events that are happening on Thursday. So you can kind of take a look, see what fits into your schedule, and go from there. So Friday the 27th is the big day. That's the rally. We have a rally that starts at noon on the National Mall. We highly recommend, you know, if you're coming to the March for Life, to make sure you're there for the rally.
I would second that. It's a good thing. Be there for the rally. Yes.
Absolutely. Fantastic speakers. This year, Abby Johnson is one of our main speakers. She is, as many of your listeners probably know, has just an incredible testimony.
Yeah, we've had her on the show a couple times.
Wonderful, so yeah, wonderful. So she'll be one of our main speakers. And so that rally goes from noon to 1. You're surrounded by, you know, thousands of your new pro-life friends. And then the actual march up Capitol Hill begins right after the rally ends. So, you know, a few minutes after 1. And so everyone marches, you know, kind of literally up Capitol Hill. It's a little bit of an incline to get up to the Capitol. And the event kind of concludes at the Supreme Court and at the U.S. Capitol. A lot of people, you know, we encourage you to do this, to kind of go into the Capitol building and meet with your congressman if you're able to, or even one of their aides, and you know, talk to them about supporting pro-life policies. Outside of the Supreme Court, we have a group of women with Silent No More who, these women bravely share their testimonies about their abortion regret. And it's really powerful to listen to these women. So that's kind of what the day looks like. It's really a life-changing, I feel like it's a life-changing experience when you go, to know that you're surrounded by and, there's the unity of being together with pro-lifers from literally all across the country. You cannot,
you're going to be just so encouraged and inspired to then go back home as soon as you can and start getting involved.
Well, and that's what community. I love. That's what I love about it is, and that's what I keep telling people. And I've written about it, you know, at Save the Storks and in different places, and said, you know, the great thing about what we do, and sometimes the hard thing about what we do is we tend to, because we're so stretched out across this country, at times we see defeats, like, you know, some would call a defeat when Governor Kasich vetoed, you know, part of the legislation in Ohio, but then he approved the 20-week ban, you know, so we see some of these things and we see the news and we read all of these things and we're like, wow, we're losing. And what I keep telling people is, no, we're not. You know, mm-hmm. Look at the numbers. Look at what pregnancy centers are doing. Look what Right to Life and March for Life folks are doing. We are not losing. We are certainly winning, and we operate in the posture of victory, and we celebrate these victories. And what the March for Life for me, what it did for me, especially last year with the blizzard conditions, is it showed me, wow, I'm not in this alone. There are so many people across this country that were willing to risk a lot of things to get here and to tell a world that life has value and that life matters. And so that's what's amazing to me about all of it. And so as we and let's continue this conversation here in a second, Bethany, but as we come back from break, that's really what I want to focus on when we get back is the partnership that we have. And the people that stand together from all walks of life that are going to come together in D.C. in the next few weeks. And it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful picture. And we'll talk more about that here in just a sec. We pray. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. The last hour has been a fun one as we focused on the March for Life and the importance of the march that's taking place on the 27th. So here in the next few weeks, and Bethany, as we look to that day, you know, what I guess my question to you is just more of a personal one. What is special to you about the march? Why is it, not just because obviously you work with the March for Life, but why is it important for you to be a part of this every single year?
That's a great question. Gosh, you know, so what immediately comes to mind is the people that I meet. I remember last year talking to this woman. I believe she was in her 80s, and she's been wanting to come to the March for Life for years. She supported the March for Life efforts and pro-life efforts for decades, and finally this year for her birthday, her son brought her all the way from Florida to the March for Life. And so just talking to her and seeing her passion and that conversation is happens with so many others too. Just the amazing, kind, thoughtful, dedicated people that you meet and talk to at the March for Life is just, it's so encouraging and inspiring. I love it.
Well, and it's so uplifting to know that so many people are standing. And so, and as I talked to Jenny earlier about a power of one theme, and mm-hmm. that's what's great about it too, is all of these ones, all of these individuals are coming together. And what they're going to make is tens of thousands of people standing together to say that life is valuable, that abortion is wrong. But what I also loved about it was I didn't sense when I was there, I didn't sense anger or bitterness or hate. What I sensed was we are pro-life because we love people. And so that's another amazing thing for me is I think a lot of people want to paint us as these hateful anti-women, which doesn't make any sense because of the vast amount of women that are involved in this movement. But
yeah,
but
exactly.
they want to paint us with this broad brush of very angry, hateful people. And actually, what you see at the March for Life is the exact opposite of that. You see just a lot of loving, caring people that care deeply about life.
Absolutely. I mean, we love people, and that's why we went to, you know, protect each and every person, whether it is a you know, a little unborn baby in the womb, or it's a woman who's, you know, facing an unplanned pregnancy, or it's a family. We love people, and I think that love and that joy just you're right, it just absolutely spills out and bubbles over at the March for Life. It's just an incredible thing to be a part of.
So as we end this conversation, how can people learn more about the March? How can people get in touch with you and others at the March for Life through social media and other avenues?
Absolutely. So you can go to marchforlife.org. There you can kind of get all the information, logistics details that you need to know about the upcoming event. You can certainly connect with us on social media. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Are kind of the main ones. We're, updating those frequently every day with new information and just, also just really encouraging stories and information that you can share with your friends and followers. So those are the best ways. On our website, you can sign up for our emails as well to make sure you get information as we release it. We would love to connect with each and every person who's listening.
Awesome. Well, Bethany, thank you so much, and we'll see you in the next few weeks in Washington, D.C.
Sounds great. Take care.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
So that was, today again has been a special day as we talk about the March for Life and the partnership with Hope Resource Center and other pregnancy centers around the country. So stand with us in this amazing, amazing work. We really appreciate it. We couldn't do this work without you. So we'll talk to you next week.